Sure, that's fine. So today, again, it is good to see those back that have been gone for different reasons and businesses and family stuff. That's all okay, and just welcome back, and it's good to see you. And as this past week, and the week before that, it's just different things. And I don't know, you guys hear a lot of stuff. Don't people, you know, call you and share things and your family or friends? And we all know people that are struggling and all. And that happens for pastors for sure as well, you know. And you begin to think about all of these things. And it's like, you know, I bet if one or two people are going through something, there's probably more than that. You know, because the devil likes to attack, and he likes to create mirrors and smokes and mirrors and all these type things. I got a very, very good friend, you know, that's having some things going on in their life, and very foundational man of God, and we had built relations with them years back, and they don't even go to the church here. I'm not even their pastor, you know. But I'm a friend, and we talk, and some things that they go through. And so this past week, I felt impressed to send a couple of things to them in encouragement, and they replied back that those things that I sent were right on. And it's those things of just being sensitive to the Spirit, which, guess what, guys? You can do that too. We're all ministers of the gospel. We all are hearing from the Spirit of God if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we're listening, if you're listening, if you're thinking of, here again, a few weeks back, we've been talking about living stones and self-sacrifice. If you are not thinking of yourself, which we do a lot, me, I, got to take care of myself. If we are so consumed with ourselves, you will not hear the needs of others. And God is wanting you to hear the needs of others so that you can intercede for them, so that you can be an encourager to them. Because they need a voice to speak to them that's audible, maybe that's more audible than what God can at that point in time. And God's going to use you. He's going to impress upon you to write. Just sit at a keyboard and just say, okay, Lord, this person's on my... they're going through this... You start typing things out. You don't even know what you're typing. But you're being a conduit for God. You're being a place that God can say, I want you to write this and send it to them. Because it's going to be an encouragement. You may type it and look at it and thinking, I don't see much encouragement in it. But get past that. And if it's something that you felt impressed that God has asked you to do, do whatever and then send it. And let the Lord do what He wants with it. Amen. Because even after that, a second thought came into me, and I had to have like part two. It's like, hey, one more thing, you know? And I was reading Psalms 139, and that's what we're going to look at today, Psalms 139. It talks about God's perfect knowledge of man. God is all-knowing, all-present, knows everything. How encouraging. And I felt that for this situation because of knowing kind of like what they're having to deal with. It's like, but the one good thing about all of this is this. God knows what you're going through. God knows what the answer is. God has that answer. God is there for you. God will take you through it. Amen? The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. I don't know what your battle is, but it belongs to God. The enemy will want you to hold on to it as long as he can make you hold on to it, to make you feel macho, to make you feel important, to make you feel like you're the strength, you're the rock they're holding on to. No, you're not. Jesus is the rock, amen? Hallelujah. But we have got to get to that point, and the battle is his. And I got to turn it over to him. If he's going to handle it for me, I've got to turn it to him. Because he's not going to take it from me. He's not going to say, here, Tim, you've got that. I'm going to take it out of your hands that you've got such a tight grip on. Just let go of it. You know, it's God. Let go of it, Tim. And God's not going to do that. But if I'm there and he's here and I say, I'm casting this to you, God. Here's my hands, Lord. I'm holding on to it. Now that's why, you know, sometimes we'll have a prayer and people will say, raise your hands, okay? Now open up your palms upward. Now let whatever you've been holding on to, let God take it. And he's there to just snatch it up. All righty. I got it. Okay, we're going to take care of it. And now it may not be on your timetable, Tim. It may not be the way you've prayed exactly, Tim, but you got to know that the battle is mine. And I will do what I need to do. And you've got to trust me, Tim. You got to have faith in me, Tim, that I see what you're going through and I'm going to take care of you because you're a child of mine. Do you trust God as that way? That you're his child? You know, he loves you. Jesus died for you. He loves you. I missed that clock back there, Ina. It's not there yet. I know. I keep looking back there, and it's just a wall with a hook on it. That would be good. Just make sure it keeps working, because every time I put one down in the sanctuary, it stops. So I don't know if the Lord is saying something. That's where I'm kind of slowly, kind of in prayer about getting another clock or not. Okay, I'm gonna, you know, Lord, should I, you know, we'll see. I want to read, and you're probably there at Psalms 139. I'm going to go through it on this. This is the Christian Standard Bible. Psalms 139, the all-knowing, ever-present God. A psalm of David. It starts off, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from afar, or it would say here, from far away. Verse 3, you observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Well, there's a mouthful of stuff we just read there. Wow. You've encircled me. In some of those areas you might look at as he's encircled you, he might have put barriers up maybe. He might have been barriers. You look at it different ways to protect you from maybe going out of bounds from where he's at. I don't know, put barriers around you to protect you. You know, you look at it. I just look at it. Whatever I do when I read that, it just tells me that he has encircled me. He's placed his hand upon me. Amen. That's all I need to know. God says in his word, in other places where he says, I go before you, I'm behind you. I'm on each side of you. He's encircled you. What are you going through today? What are you going through this past month that you felt like you were out there by yourself? And all the time, if you're a child of his, he's there with you. Verse 7, where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I live in the eastern horizon or settle in the western limits, it's talking, you know, the eastern, from sun up to sundown, you're there. Even there, your hand will lead me. Okay. I didn't turn off a lot of stuff here. It's telling me all kinds of things. Even there, your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. God's right hand will hold on to me. Have you felt God's right hand holding on to you this past week? And if not, why? Why? That's going to take something between you and God. Because God's word is true, right? He is not a liar. He's not just fabricating a story and And, you know, as David is saying here, God's hand is right there. And here's what I like. Well, let's see. We just went with 10. Even there, your hand will lead me, your right hand will hold on to me. And look at this in 11. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light around me will be night. What happens with darkness and nightness with God? It says here in 12, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are all alike to who? God. I'm in the darkness. I can't see what I'm doing. You may be in the darkness, even in not natural, but spiritually, you may be in the darkness, but to God, there is no darkness. God sees through the darkness. Where there's darkness, He is and He sees. I don't see God. I don't suspect God up there seeing a situation going on and it happens to be darkness and, ooh, bad stuff happening. And God's going, man, I wish I could see what was going on. When we make a call out to God and we begin to see these things, oh man, this thing. And we find out that darkness and light appear to be the same thing to God, because in God there is what? No darkness. It's only you in darkness. It's only you going through a problem that seems to be, has been consuming you. Whether it's a family situation, whether it's a health concern, whether it's financial situations, whatever the case might be, whatever that situation is that you're going through that appears to be darkness, we feel like I'm in darkness, I can't see my way through it, I can't see my way out of it, I don't know what's happening, all I know is things keep coming upon me. But my God, if I just would know quickly to turn to Him and cry out to Him, this darkness is not dark to Him, He sees it. And that's the thing, it talks about too, you can't, see, in some of His word, He talks about we try to do things in darkness so He doesn't see us do bad things, right? He sees it in the darkness, He sees it at any time. Because God is all-knowing, He's everywhere at the same time, and He has unlimited power, and it's great power. Well, I don't know, that's pretty exciting to me. If I get past the point of, oh boy, He sees everything. Oh boy, He knows everything. He knows before I even speak something. Repent of this, repent of that. But on the flip side of that, it gives me encouragement to realize that, that negative side of my life should be a very small sliver, if any, of negativity or downside of my Christian walk. The rest of it should be this wide slice of knowing that my God is there for me. And that even before I have a even before I fall, He knows that. And if I may be listening with spiritual ears and staying close to Him, and He may even warn me through that of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit may say, don't go there. Don't say that. Don't do that. And if I in my own flesh say, many times where God's word says when Satan is battling us, we need to tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. I wonder how many times in our Christian walk, there's times that we say, get thee behind me, God. I'll do it myself. And I wonder, myself included, how many times have I said, get behind me, God. I'll do it. I can handle it. I've got a way. I think I've got the brain that you've given me. I can figure this out. And the enemy sees that, the enemy hears that, and the enemy says, you're supposed to say for me to get behind you. Now you just told God to get behind you. Guess what I'm going to get to do now? And then the devil comes in, like a flood. Like a flood! Anybody in your life this past month or something gone through things that you feel like you've been in a flood that's come up to here? Think of the flood in the natural. Think of the Carolinas after this storm down there. Think of the homes. I can't even comprehend when they say, there's going to be a storm surge of 8 feet. There's going to be rain of 4 feet or something. I don't know. What was it? I don't know. 3 feet of rain, 36 inches of rain, or whatever the case might be. Monumental floods. And they continue on even to this day. The eye of the storm, the things that they were preparing for, way out in the ocean, they were preparing and battening down everything, and oh, it's going to be, you know, category this, a category that. And this kind of reminds me now that it's just coming to me that it's like that of the devil. It's like, you know, the lion was roaring out there, and they prepared for that. But what about preparing for really what the disaster was going to be? The flood. And I don't know how you prepare for a flood. It's going to come when it's going to come, right? So I'm not saying there's a whole lot that could be done to prepare for that. You can only do so much with sandbags. You can only do so much with taking furniture and putting it up high. But when the water gets up to the second level, you know, there's some water. You know, that's 8 feet plus. 10 feet, all of a sudden it's in your second story. Talking about the people that had maybe a single level house, they're up in their attic, now they're climbing on the roof. And maybe we could prepare for that storm that we think is coming, but then once that passes and it's not so bad, it's the remnants of the other stuff that comes with the storm. What are those things in our life that we see coming and we prepare for it and we deal with it, and when the storm passes by and we go, well, that wasn't so bad. Piece of cake. But it's then what the devil begins to add more to it. And the things that you weren't really prepared for is the things that he's really going to come at you with. But if my God that I serve, if it's my God that I am a child of, and his word tells me of all of these things that he knows, he sees, darkness is light to him, darkness has no effect on him, I'm in his hand, he's this, he's that, I should be able to rest assured and say, okay, God, this is all yours. I'm going to turn it over to you. Now that has nothing per se to do with the flooding and saying, okay, just turn all the water over to him. But I'm saying in a spiritual sense, as we look at the things that happen in the natural, look at some things in the natural that happen and begin to think about God and allow that to begin to kind of like come into your thoughts to say, wow, you mean spiritual battles could be something similar to that? There's got to be something to it, because I tell you what, there's a lot of good Christian people. There's a lot of good churches and all that are going down, that are being battled, that are being beaten, that are they've got the answer, but they don't know they've got the answer, because they try to do it with step one, step two, step three, and this program and that program and this and that and all of these things happening. And if we can just come together on a Sunday morning and look at God's word and say, here's your answer for your problem today and the problems of tomorrow, any problem that you're going to have in the future, direction and focus is right here. Now, yes, we're going to bring in maybe augment a little things with maybe a series of this or that. But it's sometimes just to mix it up a little bit, and sometimes you glean something out of something else that will be of a help to you. But it's all there in God's word, don't you agree? Oh, 13. For it was you who created my inner parts, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. This is Psalms 139, 14. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Some people go out there and they say, I'm not of any worth. You know, I have no stature, or I have no beauty, or I have no this, I have no that. I can't do this. I'm not well at that. I'm not understanding of this. I don't have enough smarts for this. Blah, 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 you know. Sounds like a little bit about that chatterbox, you know, where that thing just keeps telling you. The chatterbox generally wants to tell you everything negative about you that you believe, and you start believing it of yourself. But then I come into my God's word, and he says, oh, but it says, I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Anybody here been remarkably and wondrously made? Well, we got two. Praise God. What's wrong with the rest of you? Are you mutants or something? No. You've got to get that understanding of who you are in Christ. You've got to understand that Christ knows you. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knitted you. Talks about knitting. Talk about this, you know, crocheting or whatever that is. That's like, you know, it says he knitted you in your mother's womb. It's like when he took your blood vessels, he took your muscles, he took your skin, he took your bones, and he knitted them all together to make you. Woo! So, verse 14, we've already shared that. And then it goes on in 15, my bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and when I was formed in the depths of the earth, the mother's womb. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All of my days were written in your book and planned. All. Who here has a book of plans? We all have a plan. We've got a plan. God has a book with your name on it, with his plan on it for you. Now, what are you going to do with it? And I'm going to tell you, you can't take the book and say, God, give me the book, the plans that you've got for me. You give me that book, and I will do it. I will figure it out, and I will do what I want to do. And I will take some of you, and I'll take some of me, and I'll do what I want. You can't do that, but he's got a book that he has you in and a plan that he has for your life, but you've got to be willing to go to him, and I surrender all. I surrender myself to you, God. I commit my ways to you, God. Use me, Father. Oh. Well, I'll give you more than a song. I'll give you more than a song. I could take that and say, you got to give him more than lip service. You got to give him some bona fide totality of yourself. Spirit, soul, body, strength, mind, everything. Everything to him if you want to fully gain everything out of the playbook that he has for your life. Amen? Do you believe that or agree with some of that? You know, listen, guys, this is what I believe the Word of God is telling us, that I have all of this plan for you. I have got every play prepared for you. It's like these teams, and especially football and all that, they've got books and plans and all against different teams that they play. They've got different plans against them. Amen, I guess. Because what do? Before they go play and out the season, they send scouts out. And they sit in the game that their adversary is playing 2 weeks before they play them. And these scouts are out there they're in the enemy's camp. They're in the enemy's territory. And they're writing, they go, okay, on this type of a play, when they're on this type of scrimmage, when they've got this going on, this is the type of play they usually run. Da 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 da. And they orchestrate all that out. And then they come back to the home camp, and they go, okay, guys, we're going to have a meeting. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to play our enemy 2 weeks from now. And this is how they deal with stuff. This is how they handle their plays. This is what they run when they're in a situation like this. But you know what? We're going to do one better than that. We're going to be prepared for them. And when they do that, we're going to do this. They've got a master playbook. God has a master playbook for you. The greatest thing about it is, guess what? He's gone to the enemy's camp. He's already got all of that. He actually went to the enemy's camp, and I'm going to go to the enemy's camp, and I take back what he stole from me. I'm going to take back everything that the enemy has stolen from you. God will give it back, and even more. But see, the other thing is, that team, as they send their scouts out to go find out what they play, that same team sends their scouts out, and they go and find out what their team that they're going to play against you. And now you got these two scouts in different camps looking at how you handle things and how they're going to prepare offense and defense. the plays and the plans that God has for us, they're down. They're it. He's got it all laid out. I wonder how many times the enemy tries to come into your camp to see if you're playing those plays. Are you pulling from the master playbook to know how to run that play? When the adversary comes in like this, how are you going to handle it? When these things happen to you, how are you going to handle it? When this comes about when all of a sudden it comes on your radar, this problem, how are you going to handle it? Where are you going to go to? What play is it you're going to call on? I'm going to call on the play of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, come. Take this from me now. We've got a pretty simple alarm, really, I think, don't you? I think when we come into problems, what's the first thing you cry out? Jesus! Find somebody that's not even a Christian, and they're falling off of a cliff, or they're seeing a truck coming at them. Many times, they'll probably cry out, "Oh God!" Even an unsaved person, somehow it seems like it's in them. All of a sudden, God becomes God. "Oh God! Help me! Oh, Jesus, save me." We hear stories of people making that cry. But the 5 years before that, they had nothing to do with him. 10 years, maybe all their life. But as I've said this in the beginning many times back, you know, God has a part of a DNA in all of us, even the sinner. Even that person that doesn't even come to him, even those people that hang up on you, even those people that laugh at you, even those people that scoff, even those people that say they don't want nothing to do with God, there's something in them of God. But the enemy has got them so shut down and so deceived, the heart is so hardened, their mind is so narrow. But how is it then that if we pray, "Lord, Father God, this person I talk to is a hard nut to break. So Father, I pray right now by that of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you would just get into their spirit and open them up, Father, in whatever way, however you can do it. But Father, just release the Holy Spirit into them." And we might have to pray it again. And we might have to pray it again. I don't know. We might have to pray it again. We might have to praise him after that. We might have to pray it again. We might praise him again. Pray, "Lord, I praise you for hearing my prayer. But it hasn't come about. Lord, just release the Holy Spirit into that person's life. Thank you, Lord God, for hearing my prayer. Lord, praise." You just got to keep going and doing. And I don't know what the cycle is. I don't know how many times it is. 10 times, 50 times. Wouldn't it be so good that if God would just say, "You know what, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to answer your first prayer, but by the time you get to 12, it'll be done." Because if that's the case, if he gave us that number, I would go, "Lord, open this man's heart. Lord, 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 open this man's heart. La, 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 la. 12 times, touchdown." It doesn't work like that. But just because it doesn't work like that doesn't mean that we walk away from God or think any differently of God, or think that God can't overtake that problem, because he will. I have no idea of the time. I tell you what, I've said this before, it's sometimes the hardest thing to know difficulties going on in situations, circumstances, and people's lives, and you wish. Any of us, I think all of us would be to that point. Don't you wish you could exactly tell them a time and a date when all this is going to be taken care of? Wouldn't it be great if God said, "Hey, Bill, I just got this. I'm going to call you and put in a note," or whatever. God just told me, you know, March 12th of 2025, he's going to take care of it. 2025? It's 2018. What do you mean? Well, I don't know. But don't give up. Don't give up. Don't let the enemy see you going down. If nothing else, you know, the world will say, fake it until you make it. If nothing else, Keep praising God, even though at times you're going, I don't know if I can do this anymore, God. But I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to thank you, and I'm going to give you the honor, and I'm going to give you the glory. And sometimes, even though you're faking it, but if you're saying it, maybe as you hear your words, maybe your faith begins to build. Maybe as your faith builds, you begin stronger. As you get stronger, you stand up. And before you know it, that lion that's roaring starts meowing. That lion that was going to try to devour you. I think what I like on one of his things here, talking about this lion. He goes, when we come under attack, it should not surprise you because his word says the enemy goes around like a roaring lion. The lion is roaring. He's giving you heads up. He's coming. What happens out in the wilderness? What happens in the plains of Africa if a lion roars at night waiting for its prey? Chances are the prey is not going to stay in that field. Because normally in the hunt of that, the lion comes in quiet. He comes in quiet. I guess the devil didn't understand that. That if the devil could just come in quiet, God's word would say, your enemy is like a quiet lion sneaking up on you. And you'll never know when he's there because he's getting ready to pounce on you. The devil is so stupid, he comes in roaring because he's wanting to say, hey, look at me. Roar, I'm going to take over your life. Roar, I'm going to give you problems. He just announced himself 5 miles from you. He's coming for you. If he's coming for me, I'm going to prepare for him. Quick, get the battle, get the things ready, you know. Read some scriptures, get some verses lined up to be able to begin to repeat. And, you know, a lot of it will be in your heart probably as the Spirit begins to give you that utterance. But the enemy is so, he roars like a roaring lion, seeking who he, M-A-Y, devour. God's word didn't say seeking who he will devour, seeking who he may devour. And I said this many years back now, but may sounds like he's kind of polite, I guess. It'd be like, you know, I could say, you know, Ina, may I come over to your house? Ina would have the option to say yes or no, because I ask her permission. I don't know if this is theologically correct, but if it says asking who he may devour, do you think the devil comes up to you and says, can I devour you? May I eat you for lunch? And I wonder sometimes when he asks us those things, we see this ferocious thing. We see that we're defeated. We see that this problem before me is bigger than me. And pretty soon it's like, well, it looks like it's going to overtake me. I guess you will have me. I guess you're going to take some nips out of my hide. If the devil were to come and say, Tim, may I devour you? I hope Tim is strong enough in the faith to say, get thee behind me, devil. Get out of here, you lion. You know, I'm a child of God. You start calling down anything and everything. You start calling down angels. You start calling down the power of God. You start calling down whatever's at your disposal. But you know what? If I can't remember all of that stuff, I'm going to cry out and say, God, come and help me right now. Come, Lord God, in this situation. Protect me. Strengthen me. Move me out of the way. Whatever it is. If nothing else, if you don't think of yourself that, I don't know if I know all these scriptures that I can, oh, I want to battle with the Word of God and all this. I just remember one or two things, because don't you think, get thee behind me, Satan, has as much power as anything else? I do. Don't you think, oh God, crying out to him, come, my Lord Jesus, help me in this infirmity, help me in this health situation, Lord. I give it to you. And then I've got to trust you, Father. Because in 139, we go through the majority of that, all the way from verse 1 to about 18. It gives those three areas of the power of God or who God is. Verses 1 through 6 will get the state of knowing everything. 7 through 12, God is everywhere at the same time. 13 to 18, God has unlimited and great power. My goodness. Don't you? He's a good God. Isn't it awesome to have him on your side? I mean, if you're going to pick a team player, if you're going to pick somebody on your team that's going to, like, you know, cover everything for you, why not God? But we at times hold on to it ourselves. Well, I only had this to read, and I didn't even read it. In Psalms 139:5 talks about, you have hedged me, or other versions will say enclosed me. You have hedged me behind and before. The purpose of God's intimate knowledge of us is for protection and for helping us. It's not judgmental and condemning us. See, the enemy wants you to think your God is going to condemn you. Your God is going to judge you for being weak. Your God, look, you've already given me this amount of time in dealing with this situation, and now you're calling on him. Oh man, is your God going to judge you? Oh boy, are you going to be in trouble with God? That's the other parts of the lies of the enemy to keep you right where he wants you to be. But our God is not judgmental. The Holy Spirit does not condemn. The Holy Spirit will convict and say, that's not the right thing, or you should have done this, or why don't you do it this way? Convicting is a whole lot different than condemning, right? 139:7-12, you are there. The believer, that's us. We can rejoice and rest in the knowledge that God is present in every place and situation in our life. That God is present in every place and situation in your life. All encompassing. Okay? That's what's talking about omnipresence, that he's there everywhere at the same time. That's why sometimes in our little finite minds, we try to figure out, like, well, if I've got a problem, he's probably busy taking care of somebody else's problem. He's not going to have time for my problem. He probably doesn't even, God probably doesn't even see what's happening to me because he's busy with so-and-so. He's busy with them. No, God is all knowing. He's everywhere. In Psalms 139:12, God can see what is happening to us. And this is where I read this and reread it, and then today just reading it again, and I could just stop right there and just like veg out on that or something. I don't know. But it's like this. God can see what is happening to us even under the cover of darkness. Nothing can conceal us from him. As much as the devil tries to cover you in darkness, as much as the devil tries to cover you and just knock you down and pile on. See, if we start looking at our problems as like a blanket, and we think, oh, there's another layer of a blanket, and another, oh, I'm so buried into all these things, I bet my God, he can't even see me. He can see you. He can. That gives me encouragement. I hope that gives you encouragement to know no matter how much has piled on you, no matter how much you've dealt with or are dealing with, let it go. Surrender it to God. Let God have his way, and you step out of the way and you praise him for what he's doing. Let go. Let God. Now, you know, some people out there thinking like, man, he's preaching right at me because of this and that. I'm preaching to myself. If this hits your family or hits your situation, yeah, you can listen to it too, okay? This is not for just one or two or three people. This is for the church. This is for all of us. Because even today, even this month, if everything's been going good, I could almost tell you that maybe by next month, something could come across your path that's going to just shake your world. And when that happens, you've got to be ready. You got to be ready. You've got to have the playbook. God has gone to the camp. He's actually, God made up the playbook. He doesn't have to even go to the enemy's camp. God already designed every play that's going to be necessary where I don't have to go to the enemy's camp. I just go to God's playbook and I say, okay, God, this is happening. What is this? What is the answer? Where do I find my strength? And then Psalms 139 and 14. He is the God who knows. He knows everything that has happened and what will happen. He understands all of nature perfectly. In fact, he knows everything there is to know. God knows so much that it would be impossible to overstate what he knows. We can't say enough or enough times, God already knows it all. I think that's omniscience. Omniscience. Knowing all. And I will wrap this up here. God knows all of our thoughts, motives, and deeds. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Isn't that interesting? We become uneasy with the fact that God knows us so well, like Adam and Eve. What did they do when they found out and they, oh boy, they hid. We hide. We look at Adam and Eve going, ha, well, that's kind of funny. God knows all. He sees everything. Why do they think they're hiding in a bush? Well, we do the same thing. You know? It's just that you've already got clothes on, but you still hide. We still hide from him. God knows us better than we know ourselves, okay? We become uneasy with the fact that God knows us so well. Like Adam and Eve, we fear the exposure of our sin. And then there is, however, greater reason to rejoice in the fact that God knows us so well. He loves us in spite of what he knows about us. Man, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the middle of our sin, he still loves us. He knows the worst things there is to know about us, and he still wants to save us. He also knows the best things about us. When everyone else misunderstands us, he understands us completely. Isn't that great to know? How many people here said, you just don't understand me? Anybody said that to somebody? You just don't understand me. God does. He understands you. He understands you completely. And finally, God knows what we will be. He has a marvelous end in mind that should give us a great comfort that no matter what our present state is, if we stay on his path, if we stay under his wings of whatever, that he's got that path for us and he's got that end for us. It's a lot to digest. It's a lot to deal with. And I'm not saying it is easy, okay, to break loose of the things that takes us in this world. But you've got to know that there is help. You've got to know that God is there. And he's there for you to call upon him, amen? And be strong. Be strong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's because as we get older, you get more. I don't know what. What? I don't know. But you begin to see the hurts. You begin to see people's struggles that they're going through. And those people that I see, they're good people. And I go, God, they're good people. You know, some of these people that I visit with and all, they're like mentors for me. You know, that you glean a lot from. And now it's like, oh, Lord. And so I think as God has taken me a little bit on this journey from the last few weeks of being living stones and sacrificing ourselves and being selflessness to ourselves and to give ourselves to others. We come into this week now of talking about, you know, how God is and where he's at with us. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen.